Now, when you think of Cliff Richard, you need to take on board quite a number of facts. For example, let's start with the fact that he has 130 singles, albums and EPs that have reached the top 20. He's had 67 UK top 10 singles, 67 of them, right? He holds the record with Elvis as the only act to make the UK singles charts in all of its first six decades. He has 14 number ones, and he, on top of all of that, has had a number one single in each of the five consecutive decades. That's who Cliff Richard is. And Music, The Air That I Breathe, is the name of the brand new album. And this is the title track, just before we talk to Cliff.
If I could make a wish, I think I'd ask. I can't think of anything I need. No cigarettes, no sleep, no light, no sound. Nothing to eat, no books to read. Nothing left to be desired. Peace came upon me and it leaves me weak. So sleep, silent angel, go to sleep.
It's Marty in Dublin.
Marty, hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm wonderful, Cliff. It's lovely to hear your voice. How are you with Vic? How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well, actually. I've been here for quite a while now in Britain, about 6 or 7 weeks.
And yeah.
I did my quarantining and did my audio version of the book during that quarantine time. And then I've been doing TV and radio stuff.
So. And I saw you were quarantining, God love you, in Barbados.
Well, Barbados is a great place to be if you're going to be locked down. I was locked down for 5 weeks there.
But
obviously I had to come back and present my new book and my new album, so I expect that when I do things like this.
I know, but do you know what I love? I mean, firstly, belated happy birthday to you, which is terrific. And to still want to do it, to still love doing it at 80, you're an incredible fella. But also the fact that when I saw the photographs, other people would celebrate with a small cake and a sherry. You went and played a game of tennis to celebrate your 80th.
Well, I got a chance to play with somebody, a guy called James Ward. He's one of our Davis Cup players.
Yeah.
We have a mutual friend, somebody who works for British Airways, and they arranged it for me. And so, of course, I'm a member there, so I could go. But
yes.
It was terrific to sort of hit some balls again because I hadn't played since March. So I was pretty rough, actually, to be honest with you.
But it's such a passion of yours, we know. It really is. It's such a passion. Well, listen, let's talk about the music. The album is terrific. Firstly, congratulations on it, the fact that you have it, and the book as well, which is quite something. Choosing the tracks, I have to say, when I saw Too Much Heaven on the list, I went, oh, I wonder what... It's really, really good.
Well, it's a matter of doing something like that. We decided we'd do five classic known songs.
Mm.
And, of course, they're classic because they are what they are. And the people that... I mean, the Bee Gees version is just absolutely the version of all time. And they've always been my favourite band. So I chose songs that I really enjoyed and liked by other people and try to do them slightly differently. In fact, I don't know whether Barry's heard this yet, because what we did was I suggested that we put it into like a waltz tempo.
Yeah.
It's 1, 2, 3. Nobody get... So I don't know. I hope he likes it. And things like Here Comes the Sun, I suggested we with a slight gentle reggae. And so the albums turned out to be quite interesting, and the five duets, of course, on. I sang with some terrific people.
Yeah, absolutely. You got the Bellamy Brothers and everything in there. Let's have a listen to Too Much Heaven. Here it is.
Nobody gets too much heaven no more. It's much harder to come by. I'm waiting.
Heaven, music from Cliff Richard, the brand new album music, The Air That I Breathe. Incidentally, my friend, do you know what I found? You know the way the COVID, people are talking about all their strange dreams and everything. When I knew we were going to have our chat today, the song Dreamin' wouldn't leave my head. Isn't that weird? That great old song of yours, it kept playing in my mind. Isn't it mad?
Which song do you mean?
Remember Dreamin', I'm dreaming of being you. Remember that? No? Is it gone?
Oh, of course, that was a song called Dreaming.
Yes, Dreaming.
Right. The Alan Tarnick song.
Yes, great song.
I mean, the thing is, that's why we call the book The Dreamer, because while I was being interviewed, I had a co-writer, and he helped me a great deal. He got information from me that I managed to remember. I couldn't get all the statistics right, but
sure.
I got all the incidents right. He was saying, you know, I was telling him about how I dreamed of being Elvis, and
yes.
I had a dream of doing this, and of course, I was talking about things that actually had happened. So we decided that The Dreamer might be a good title for the book. But it wasn't based on that song, but I guess that song does mean a lot.
It sure does. I'm thinking about one of the stories that I haven't read the book yet, but I'm looking forward to it. In the book, isn't there a story about the first time that you attempted to meet Elvis? Was that in Germany?
Yes, it was. I was coming back. I'd gone with three friends, the drummer of the Drifters, the original band, myself and a friend and his girlfriend. We went to Italy for our holiday, and on the way back, we thought it was only a slight detour. We can go to Bad Nauheim, I think it was called, a place where Elvis we knew was stationed, and I had a house there. So we got there. We had no trouble finding the house. It was covered in graffiti, every bit of fencing and walls. We love you, Elvis. So I went there and knocked on the door, and this big, burly American guy said, yeah, hi, what can I do for you? And I said, well, oh, is Elvis in? And he said, no, he's not. I said, oh, my name's Cliff Richard. Could you say I called? He said, I'll tell him.
Oh, that's
so
brilliant.
He wasn't there, so I missed out on that one.
Yeah, but still, and you know, it's interesting, isn't it, when you think about it, and your success and the statistics. It's the Beatles, it's Elvis, and it's Cliff. It is, and it hasn't changed.
Well, the thing is, I just looked it up again. I'm number three to Beatles and Elvis in Britain, singles.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm going to refute it because I've just dug up a program called The Ultimate Pop Star.
Yeah.
And in there, it's undoubtedly, you know, I have spent, apparently, when they counted up the weeks we spent in the charts, I had spent 2 years in the charts. That's a third of my whole career actually in the British charts. And when you think about the Beatles had such phenomenal success everywhere, but they were only together from 63 by 69. They weren't talking to each other.
It was a tiny period. That's right, 10 years.
So I feel that I own that title. I think I'm happy to be third to both Elvis and Beatles, but I've got a feeling that in Britain, my single sales, I should be second to Elvis.
That's fair enough by me. Do you know what I found at home? I was going through some stuff because we've chatted over the years, which I've always enjoyed. I found a 7-inch. Do you remember Cliff and Hank and Throw Down a Line? Do you remember that?
Oh, yes, I do. In fact, I mean, Hank had written a couple of songs for me before that. And I mean, in fact, when the Shadows broke up, I found I had no band, of course. And the first song I sang, though, I believe I'm right in saying this, was written for me by Hank. That was The Day I Met Marie.
Oh, right.
Well, and of course, he'd written Silvery Rain and Throw Down a Line. So even after the Shadows bust up, we still had connections. And when you think about it, years later, Bruce Welch produced the biggest selling single I ever had. So we've kept in touch and just stay in touch as much as we can.
Well, it's good. And you've had your reunions over the years, too, which is always good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The years go by, you know, and I keep thinking about it even now. I'm happy to actually get into some charts, and my album and the book look as though they're going to be charting.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, I would never have expected this after all these years. Don't forget, we were written off as one-hit wonders, and there's one headline we read that said, "Here today, gone tomorrow." Mm. And somehow or another, both the Shadows and I survived the years.
But you're one of the most enduring stars anywhere. We think about Move It, we think about Devil Woman, we think about some people, which you did with the Royal Philharmonic, and I just fell off my chair here in the studio because it's so beautiful, that version with the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra.
It's always a treat when you get a chance to sing. I mean, with a good band. I had a great band, and so I can't grumble at all. I loved all those rock and roll things that the Shadows and I did together.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you're offered a chance to have a stringed orchestra sweep in behind you. It's a fantastic. It's a great feeling for any singer. It's like when I played Miss You Nights, which there were no drums on Miss You Nights. There was bass and there were loads of orchestra, and it was like singing and floating on a cloud. I still like the way I describe it.
But that remains one of... That's the album I'm Nearly Famous. It remains one of the great love songs.
I think so. I've always described Miss You Nights as being something that... it's like singing honey.
Yeah, well, a lot of that is to do with your voice, Cliff, if I can be perfectly honest with you.
Well, I don't know how to rate myself anymore because there are so many different ways of singing.
Yeah.
I often wish that I could have sung a bit like some of the bluesy people, you know. And I did an album of soul music with a whole bunch of black artists. And in between, in some of the gaps, I said the Temptations were on there. And I said, you know, I've just got you black singers, you know. I said, your vocal cords are like concrete. And he said to me, well, what are yours like? I said, cotton wool. I'd like to have been able to establish a little bit of that in my throat. But you know, I'm a recording artist, so over and above what I want to do, I needed to do things that people would buy. And so I guess I'll always be remembered for the, you know, Miss United, the Devil Woman, and the Summer Holidays, and the Living Dolls.
Yes.
But deep down inside of me, I'd like to be like Joe Bonamassa.
I understand that.
I've had many times, I can tell you, times when innocence I trade for company. Children saw me crying. I thought I'd had my share of that, but these Miss You nights,
chatting with Cliff Richard today, having a great old chat. Listen, you talk about duets, you talk about the album, The Air That I Breathe. You have a song on the album called P.S. Please. And yes, it's fantastic, with Mark Knopfler.
Well, there's three writers from Britain, and I can't remember their names. I haven't yet learnt the names yet. Mm. One of them's got a strange sort of foreign-sounding name. But anyway, the song is, I mean, I've never sung a song. In other words, it was like playing the part of a man who had already died.
Yes.
I mean, obviously from the lyrics, he never saw his daughter, but they named her Eliza. And he left her Christmas cards and New Year messages and a bit of advice. So it's very poignant, but it's a sort of posthumous song. He's singing from the grave to her, saying, I hope you find time to read the letters I left for you. I hope the money I left bought you your first car. It's a really fabulous song. I love it. It was meant to be on the last album, but I couldn't get it on there for some reason. And now I can. And I think we're probably going to release it nearer Christmas.
It's a wonderful song. It truly is. And having Mark Knopfler on it too is just a joy. He's so good.
Well, I'm so glad you're speaking like this. You're flattering me.
No, it's true. It's true. Because the point is, you could bring out an album, and let's not fool ourselves. You could bring out an album, people say, oh, here's Cliff, and it's his 172nd album. That's brilliant. But the fact is, the music has to stand up, and the voice has to stand up, and it has to stand on its own. And the fact is, it does. You know, I mean, I know I'm a fan, and I know that I came over to interview when you were in Time in the Dominion Theatre, and I know I came to meet you a number of times, and you've been over to Dublin, and we've met and we've chatted, but you still have to deliver the goods, and you are, and that's hats off to you, my friend. At 80 years of age, I think it's terrific that you're still doing it at the level you're doing it. So congratulations.
Well, thank you very much. I mean, I guess any kind of voice that sings, it's a gift. I mean, and there's not much you can do about that. I mean, fortunately for me, I've been blessed with good health.
Yes.
And that helps a lot, that you're not sick or anything like that. And I've looked after my voice as best I can. I usually warm up before I go and do concerts. And if ever I'm recording, normally I won't have done anything for months. But about 6 weeks before getting to a studio, I start using a CD that I have, which is a warm-up CD. It takes about 45 minutes, and I start doing it twice a week. Then as I get nearer, I do it three times a week. And by the time I get to the studio, my voice is warmed up and ready to go. So I think you have to work at it a little bit, but generally speaking, it's still just a wonderful gift.
But it's also about being fit, isn't it? It's also about looking after yourself and keeping yourself as trim, I suppose, as you can be, and healthy, yeah?
Oh, yes. I've always been aware of that, and I've dieted. I've done every diet that's known to man. But recently I discovered a few years ago, I discovered something that was based on your blood type. So I only eat the food that I'm supposed to eat. I can treat myself now and then. For instance, I'm not allowed to eat steaks, but I will have maybe 5 steaks a year, and that'll do. And I look forward to the days I choose to have steaks. So I've been careful with what I've done, and I've tried to stay fit. Tennis has helped me a great deal, because even though I can't play great tennis, I can run about a court. And in Portugal, when I'm playing there, I play with a coach 3 times a week. He runs me ragged for an hour, and we're playing in 85, 90 degrees of sun, so your heart's beating. So I've done as much as I can to remain fit.
Well, you have. I've never heard of that idea. I must go to the doctor and ask him about the blood situation and see if he can get me back in trim shape. Listen, I know you have dates at the Royal Albert Hall for 2021. That should have been happening this year. But I don't see anything. I don't see any Irish dates in there, Cliff.
No, I don't. I didn't see Irish dates either.
Yeah. No, that's funny.
We normally rehearse in Killarney. And we usually kick off there, because where we rehearse, there's a theatre there.
Yes.
But I think it's because everything was postponed from last year, and we had trouble getting the dates that we wanted, the same dates for next year. And so I guess there's just been, maybe they weren't available for us at that particular time.
But hopefully you will make it over to us, hopefully, if you're going, because you're doing quite a series of dates, aren't you, next year?
I'm doing about 20 dates, I suppose. Yeah. There's about 15 or 16 that coming down. I think Glasgow is the furthest north I go. And then I come back down to the Albert Hall.
Yes.
And again, I like finishing there, because it'll be 4 nights with just 1 day off in between the 4. And I don't care if I bust a gut at that stage, because then I'm on holiday. But I have to go back up to Nottingham, because we couldn't find the date at the right time, the date that was obviously going to be done this year. So it means I'm going to have to be really careful at the Albert Hall. Normally I throw caution to the wind.
You mad Cliff Richard, you. Well, listen, hopefully you'll come and see us, which would be wonderful. Well, listen, Cliff, it's been a real pleasure. I want to thank you so much for chatting with us today. Thrilled about the album. I hope you'll come and play in Ireland again soon. And good luck with the book and The Air That I Breathe. I think we should finish with PS Please. What do you think? It'd be a nice one to finish, wouldn't it?
I think that would be a great track to play. And I'm particularly thrilled because I managed to get Mark Knopfler to guest on it. He plays some wonderful guitar stuff. Don't forget to listen to my voice, but try to listen to that guitar. It's sensational.
Cliff, you're a constant pleasure. God bless you, and good health to you, and we'll meet soon, please God. Take care.
Thanks a lot, Muddy. Thank you.
Happy birthday, dear Eliza. I bet the world feels big at 17.
Wonderful, Cliff Richard and P.S. Please. What a lovely, lovely chat. What a lovely man. Our winner this morning, by the way, is